Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
We have been in a series that we are calling Path to the Promise, and we've been in this for several weeks now. This is actually, I believe this is our sixth week that we've been in this series. And what we are doing is we're taking a look at the life of Joseph, all right? Joseph in the book of Genesis. We're looking at the different things that he went through in his life, paths that he had to take that really prepared him for his purpose and promise from the Lord. And the way it prepared him is it actually built his character. The things he went through built his character. Amen? So I say all that to say this. I've said this several times throughout this series, and I'll continue to say it. You will never step into and fulfill a purpose or promise from God that is bigger than your character. And so the Lord helps us, and he helps build our character in this journey that we call life so we can step into the promise and the purpose he has for us. And I don't know if you know this or not, but God has a great plan, a great purpose, and a great promise for your life. And as a matter of fact, we're going to say it again because we've been saying this for weeks. We're going to say it again, but I want to make sure you guys get it in your heart, right? So say this. Say, God has a great plan, a great purpose, and a great promise for my life. For my life. All right. Say it like you mean it. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. All right. So last week we talked about persevering through prisons, staying faithful and serving God through life's mountains and through life's valleys. And we talked about still doing something for God even when injustice has been done towards you, right? When injustice, when we've been wronged by others. That's what happened to Joseph, right? He was falsely accused of something that he did not do, and he actually suffered consequences for just doing the right thing. Right, he fled from immorality and impurity from Potiphar's wife, and for doing that, he suffered consequences. But in the midst of that, he did not grow bitter towards God or bitter towards people, but he still did what was right and pleasing to God, and he still tried, in the midst of that, he tried to minister to and help other people. And so there was actually two other people while Joseph was thrown in prison for doing what is right. There was two other people that we know of that were thrown into the prison with him that he actually gave a word from the Lord, an interpretation of dreams. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. That's the subtitle of today's sermon is A Word from the Lord. A Word from the Lord. So we're going to pick up and read what happened while Joseph was in prison and these two visitors came to be incarcerated with him. And then we're going to talk about what happens or what we should do when we receive a word from the Lord. Now, I'm getting ready. Y'all bear with me. I'm getting ready to read the entire chapter of Genesis chapter 40, okay? It's 23 verses. Everybody's like, a whole chapter? Yes, a whole chapter. Okay, 23 verses. And I thought many times throughout this week how I could maybe break this up, divide it, or just read a certain portion of it. But I want us to see exactly what happened and get the full spectrum of what took place. And to do that, we just can't cut the corners. We gotta read the whole thing, okay? So y'all read along with me. Take in everything we're reading. And then we'll talk about when we receive a word from the Lord and what we should do with it. Okay, Genesis 40, starting with verse 1. And it came to pass, it'll be on the screen too for you, okay? It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, this is Pharaoh, offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt who were confined in the prison had a dream. Both of them, each man's dream in one night and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today? Why do you look so sad today?" Joseph was trying to minister to these guys even when he was in prison himself. And they said to him, verse 8, "We have each had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me." So he's trying to minister to them, and he's pointing them to the Lord. Verse 9, "Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, 'Behold, in my dream was a vine. A vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand.' And Joseph said to him, 'This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house, for indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon.' So when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, 'I also was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head.' So Joseph answered and said, 'This is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you.' Now, I do not want to receive a word from the Lord like this one." Just making that clear. I know you know, but I don't want to receive a word like that. All right. Now, verse 20. "Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted it to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." Okay, I know that was a lot. 23 verses, right? Here we go. "But what do you do when you feel you have received a word from the Lord for you? What do you do?" Now, this is what I'll say is God can speak to us in many ways, and he does. Maybe he will speak to you through a dream or a vision like he did Joseph and the butler and the baker. Maybe he will just speak to your heart and your mind as you take quiet time to spend with him through prayer, through worship, and through reading his word. You know, a lot of times we think we got to pray and always be talking, but sometimes, most of the time, when I pray, after I pray, I just sit and listen. I'm like, "God, what is it you wanting to say to me? Speak to my heart. Speak to my life." When I get in my personal time in the Word, I always pray before I read the Word. "God, this is the living, powerful, moving, breathing Word of God. I want it to speak to me. Let me see something I've never seen before. Let it go to my innermost being and let it be lived out in my life. I want you to speak to me," right? And so a lot of times in our intimate time with God, we have, even in our worship, we have to allow time for God to speak to us, speak to our heart. And we need to ask him for that. We have not because we ask not. So ask him, "Speak to me, speak to me." You could hear the audible voice of God. I put no limits on him. God could speak to you through a friend. He could speak to you through a pastor or another minister. He could speak to you through a complete stranger sometimes, right? Hebrews 13 actually says, "Sometimes we entertain angels unaware that we are doing so." So God can speak. My point is this: God can speak to us however he wants to. But how do we know it's a word from the Lord, right? Of course we know that in time, if it comes to pass, it definitely was a word from the Lord because his word does not return void. In the case above, there were dreams given. God actually gave those dreams. God gave Joseph the interpretations to those dreams. And then what Joseph said was going to happen actually happened. So we know that Joseph had heard from the Lord. But let me put a disclaimer in there. Not every dream you have is a dream from God, okay? It's like Pastor Reed used to say, sometimes you just had too much pizza and pinto beans before you went to bed. All right? So not every dream is from God. So how do you know when there's a word from the Lord? What should you do? That's what we're going to talk about. Because sometimes you may receive a word from the Lord that does not come to pass for a long time. You have to wait for it, right? Joseph had dreams from God. He had a promise from God, but it took many, many years before Joseph ever saw the fulfillment of those dreams and that word from the Lord, okay? And Joseph actually went through a lot of stuff in his life before he saw the fulfillment of it, right? We've been talking about this for several weeks. He went through some hard, some terrible, some unfair, unjust stuff. Stuff that if a lot of us went through it, we might say, well, there ain't no way that's happening now. That word must not have been from God. And we just give up on the word from the Lord. That dream, that promise, that must not have been from God because in the position I'm in now, that could never happen. Joseph had every right to think, say, or believe that, but we don't read where he did that. He continued on the course, okay? We got to be careful with that because sometimes the main problem is we ourselves just aren't ready yet. And God is trying to build some things in us or take some things out of us that don't need to be there. We still got some learning. We still got some growing to do So before we're ready for it. Are y'all with me? Everybody with me? All right. So let me show you a very interesting scripture about Joseph that's found in the book of Psalms. Okay, this is Psalms chapter 105, verses 16 through 19. It says, "Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread." This is God, okay? "But he sent a man before them," who was Joseph, right, "who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him." Okay, verse 19, "until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him." Now, the word in verse 19, it says twice the word, because I really, in my notes, I made that very bold because I think it's an interesting statement. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. And so when you look at that scripture and you break it down, in English, it's just translated twice here as our English word, word. But in the Hebrew, which is what this was written in, there's actually two different words there, and they mean two different things, okay? The first occurrence of word in verse 19 is the Hebrew word dabar. The word dabar, and it's used around 1,439 times in the Old Testament. And it actually just means to speak to speak over, or just to speak. To speak. The second word in that scripture, in verse 19, is translated as is the word imra. It's the Hebrew word imra. It's used around 37 times in the Old Testament. And it actually means this, word of God, the word of God. And then in Strong's Concordance, it has a little comment, and then it says the Torah. The Torah. Anybody know what the Torah is? It's the Hebrew Bible. Okay? All right? So here's what we just read now with the definitions of those Hebrew words. Until the time that the spoken word over Joseph's life came to pass, the word of God tested him. Or until the time that the spoken word over Joseph's life came to pass, the Torah or the Bible tested him. Now, I think that's a pretty amazing statement because the Torah was not written until after Joseph's life. Okay? It was written in the time of Moses. But this is what we know. So I got to studying scripture this week. This is what we know. What does John chapter 1:1-3 tell us? In the beginning was the Word, right? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and nothing Without him, nothing was made that was made. Okay? That you know who that's talking about. It's talking about Jesus, right? Jesus is the living word, right? But check this out. Luke 24, verses 25 through 27. This is after Jesus' resurrection. Then he said to them, this is Jesus talking to two disciples on the road to Emmaus after he's been resurrected. He said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets, right? So a prophet prophesies. To prophesy literally means to declare the word of the Lord. That's what prophesy means, okay? To declare the word of the Lord. He said, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in his glory? And beginning at Moses, right, and all the prophets, that's this Old Testament, he expounded unto them, he explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus was explaining to these disciples, listen, I'm ingrained in every part of this scripture. I'm ingrained in every part of the word. That is the written word, but I am the living word. 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17. And that from childhood you have known that the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. One more scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1, 19 through 21. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So what's my point to saying all this in all of these scriptures? My point is the living word was before Joseph. Jesus was before, right? In the beginning was God, the living word, okay? And he was testing him, and he was preparing him. He was preparing Joseph, building his character, preparing him for purpose and promise. And then Jesus has ingrained himself into the Holy Scriptures. That's what he was explaining to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And then we know all Scripture is given by inspiration from who? God himself. That actually means it is God breathed to show us how and what we should believe, to give us our doctrine, to correct our wrong beliefs, right? Our wrong perceptions. It's to instruct us in righteousness on how to live. And then Peter lets us know right there at the end that prophecy, a declared word of the Lord, is backed up by Scripture, and Scripture is backed up by Scripture. It's not by any one man's private interpretation, right? Because holy men were moved on by the Holy Spirit to write what they wrote. Okay, here's my point. If there is a spoken word over your life from God, we can go to God's word to test it and see if it truly is a word from God. Amen? If there is a word from God over your life, we can go to this right here and test it to see if it really is a word from God. Okay? Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we can get a word from the Lord, and we can test it against the word of the Lord. And then not only that, the word of God will test us. It'll test us. The word of God will help you become and prepare you for the word that's spoken over you. In other words, it'll help build your character. Now, I don't know about y'all, but seeing the Bible connect like that in this like wonderful, beautiful tapestry, how it all connects, it gets me excited this week. I was actually making some of these notes, putting these scriptures down. Amanda was sitting across the room. I'm like, babe, listen to this. Listen to this. Did you know this, this, this? And she was just like, oh, yeah, that's great. And I'm like, wait, but look how it connects. Look how it all connects. I get pumped when I just see the Word of God connecting in so many different ways. So what do you do when you receive a word from the Lord? To answer that question, we're going to use Scripture, right? We're going to use scripture, and I'll give you three steps, 3 points from that scripture. Okay, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 through 22. Very, very short verses, right? Here's verse 19. Do not quench the spirit. Verse 20, do not despise prophecies. 21, test all things. Hold fast what is good. 22, abstain from every form of evil. All right, we're going to take it straight from that scripture. Here's the first point on what you should do when you believe you've gotten a word from the Lord. Number one is this, do not dismiss it. When you believe you've gotten a word from the Lord, do not dismiss it. Verses 19 and 20 says, do not quench the spirit. We're going to talk about that first. And then do not despise prophecy. So don't dismiss it. Do you know how many individuals, how many even churches, corporate bodies have dismissed and forfeited a word from the Lord just because they refused to wait? They refused to wait. They refuse to wait because maybe they have better things to do, quote unquote, right? Or maybe they got a schedule or an agenda to keep. And because they refuse to wait on the Lord, sometimes they have quenched the spirit. I want to tell you something. It's okay for you to wait on the Lord. Okay? There are times during our worship services, during worship in these services, right? There are times during the altar call. Sometimes you'll just see, I'm going to wait. I'm just going to wait. Because I'm waiting. I'm over here praying. I'm like, all right, Lord, what is it you want to do? What is it you're saying in this moment? Because I don't want to quench your spirit. Sometimes in those moments in worship or even at altar, he may give me a word to say that I had no idea I was going to get up and say, but he'll give me an on-time word, a rhema word in that moment, right? Sometimes in those moments as I'm waiting, he'll just say, hey, move forward. Just move forward and go with the process. Preach the word I've already given you. Whatever. But this is what I know. I refuse to be in a hurry and not wait and quench the spirit in the process. I don't ever want to quench his spirit. Sometimes the Lord wants us to wait because he just knows we need more patience. And he's trying to help build that in us, right? Sometimes that's the only reason he wants us to wait. Sometimes he wants us to wait because in that moment, he's ministering and speaking to an individual, and he just wants us to let him minister and let God be God, and because he can do in a moment what I could preach up here for weeks and not do, right? He's God. So sometimes he's trying to minister to an individual, and we may not understand it, so we just need to focus on worshiping him and wait until we move forward, right? So sometimes it's that. But regardless of why he has us waiting, let me tell you what happens when we wait on the Lord. I'll tell you with scripture. Isaiah 40, 30 and 31. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, right? If we would just take some time to wait on the Lord, we may just get the word we need in that moment, that on-time word that will change and transform your thought process and your emotions, and we would stop letting our emotions control us, and we'd grab a hold of the word of the Lord, right? If we will wait on the Lord, it could encourage us and invigorate us and cause us to rise like an eagle with wind beneath its wings. Amen? But we got to first learn to wait and not quench the spirit. It's okay to wait on the Lord. We're a fast-paced society, and we feel like we got to get in here, we got to get out of here because we got to get Tom and Hattie's and have some of that chicken. Or we got to get to the Mexican joint before everybody else. But it's okay to wait. Don't hurry and quench the spirit, okay? So we got to learn to wait. So we do not dismiss a word from the Lord by quenching the spirit and not waiting on the Lord. But it also says, do not dismiss by despising prophecies. So what does that mean? Do not dismiss it, a word, just because the word didn't come the way you thought it would, okay? Because it didn't come from someone you thought it would come from. Now, listen, I don't mean this in a bad way. The Lord knows my heart, but this is the truth. I've had people who were high up in ministry, so to speak, speak words over me that, if I'm being honest, that it didn't line up with me. You know, Pastor Reed, I love his analogy of talking about, when someone's preaching a word, and he talks about how do you know a lot of times if it's a word from the Lord? Well, how does it feel in your gut, right? 2 + 2 = 5. That don't feel right, right? Right? 2 + 2 = 4. That feels better, right? And so sometimes we got to check that, right? If it doesn't line up with this and there's something off. But I've had times where something was off. It didn't feel right. But that's okay. None of us are perfect, right? I don't expect perfection from anybody. But I don't really dismiss it right away. But I'll also say this. I've also had times where there were strangers, so to speak, that came to me in a sense, because I didn't know them well, and they came and gave me a word. It hit the nail on the head, right? My point is this. I want to say this right. We have to be careful who we let speak into and over our lives. We have to be very careful with that. But we also cannot just dismiss things because they come from a source we didn't expect, okay? So we cannot despise not prophecies. So how do you be careful and yet at the same time not dismiss or despise prophecy? The answer is in the scripture, by testing it. Testing that word. That is what verse 21 of Thessalonians 5 says. Test all things. So that's point number two, test all things. So we do not dismiss it, but we do test it. We do not dismiss it, but we do test it. And if it does not pass the test, we can dismiss it. And so what's the test? How do we test a word? I've already given you that answer. Through the Word of God. The Word of God is what I like to call our spiritual litmus paper. Anybody in here in high school or college ever take chemistry? Chemistry? We've got a few. Anybody remember litmus paper? Litmus paper? Okay. So litmus paper in chemistry, litmus paper is a way to test the acidity level, the pH level of an actual chemical or liquid, okay? I'm going to tell y'all a story real quick about high school. So when I was in high school, I took chemistry. I had a really cool chemistry teacher. Older guy, but he loved to cut up. I was very, very shy leading all the way up into middle school. About 6th or 7th grade, I came out of my shell. And by the time I was in high school, I was pretty outgoing, open guy. I like to cut up. I can't sing a lick, but I'd bust out singing in the middle of a test and just kind of get the class going, sometimes get in trouble, sometimes not. But I was friends with everybody. But this teacher knew this about me, and he come to me after class one day, and he said, hey, he's like, you're my guy for this. And I was like, okay. He's like, I want to play a joke on the class, the chemistry class. I'm like, okay, what you got? I'm in, let's do this. He's like, so I got some litmus paper, and he said, I don't even remember what it was that he put on my hand, but it was some sort of acidic liquid, but it wasn't harmful acidic, okay? But he said, what we're going to do, he said, I've come up with this story that the medical field has come up with this new liquid, and it's to help doctors and nurses, and you can put this liquid on your arm or your veins around where they're going to try to take blood, and it'll cause your veins to tighten and come to the top so they can easily do blood tests and draw blood if they need to do that. So he came up with this very elaborate story that's what this was. And they had given us samples to show the students in class. And he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to explain this story. I'm going to call you up. I'm going to ask for a volunteer who wants to see if it works. And you raise your hand. I'm going to put this liquid on you. And I'm going to get it on there real good. And you act like, there ain't nothing happening. Then you start acting like it's getting real tight. It's like, and then you act like you're hurting, and then just slam your hand down on that litmus paper, and because it's acidic, it's going to turn red on that litmus paper, and everybody's going to think that your blood vessel's busted. Now, he would be arrested today for this, but we did it. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, it's hurting, and I slam my hand down, and it splatters red everywhere. And I kid you not, this is the honest God's truth. There was a girl who went, ran out of the room, ran to the principal's office, and the principal came down and we had to explain to him what happened. So the prank worked. But I say all that to say this. Litmus paper, if it's acidic, if it's a pH level of 4.5 or less, it'll turn red because it's acidic. There's different papers, but neutral will turn purple, base will turn blue. But the Word of God is how we test and judge prophecy, right? If it lines up with the Word. Remember this, Peter said, prophecy is backed up by Scripture. It's backed up by the Word of God. And Scripture is backed up by Scripture, not one person's personal interpretation. Because we can even take, people can personally take Scripture out of context. And when text is taken out of context, I said this already last week, when text is taken out of context, it leads to pretext, which means their own personal interpretation. So we got to judge Scripture with Scripture. Scripture's backed up with Scripture. A word from the Lord backed up with a word from the Lord. This is the one way we should test a word from the Lord, because God's word is the standard. Amen? Amen? Y'all with me? Okay. If it doesn't line up with this word, it's not from him. He's not. There's no duality in him. If it doesn't line up with his word, it's not from him. Okay? Listen, if you read something, if you're sitting down, you're reading the word of God, and you read something from the word of God that's different than what you thought or different from what you believed, let me ask you a question. Do you change your belief or do you try to change the word? You change your belief to fit what God said, right? You change your belief because we cannot change the word. Because it's his word and it's forever settled in heaven. Go ahead. You can praise the Lord. Jim Pinkard pastors North Point Church here, and he and I are friends. And, you know, we've had several conversations, but he came to me one time and had a conversation about a situation he was dealing with. But he had something going on with some people, and they didn't like some things that were going on. And he looked at them and said, let me ask you something. Is it in that word? And they said, well, yeah, it is, but blah, blah, blah. He said, no, no, no. He said, if it's in that word, I didn't write it. I can't change it. So get in line with it. If we confess that what we believe, that it's God's word, we got to come into alignment with God's word. Amen? So this is the way we test it. So the word of God is our test. It's how we judge a word that's come forth. Let me show you why you have to test it with what God has already said. Okay? Let me show you why. This is Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. It says, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass. That means legitimate, there's some crazy stuff happening. Signs and wonders, right? Right? And a sign and wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. Again, if it doesn't line up with what he's already said, you better dismiss it. That's a test against you to see if you love him the way you're professing that you love him. What was the first? Listen, God is telling the Israelites this because he had already gave them the commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And if someone comes along, it doesn't line up with what he's already said. Hey, let's go after these other gods. Even if they're doing signs and wonders, you better dismiss that, because God is testing you to see if what you profess is true. He's testing your heart. Do not listen if it goes against his word, even if they do signs and wonders. Y'all getting quiet on me. What we do is verse 4. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him. Keep his commandments. Obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. Now, let me say this in reference to testing a word of prophecy. Confirmation. Okay? A true word from the Lord, I truly believe this, a true word from the Lord will first be confirmed by God's word, and secondly, It will be a confirmation to what God has already been speaking to you, what He's already been speaking to your heart, what He's already been speaking into your life. And many times when that happens for me, I'm like Gideon. I want double confirmation. I'm throwing that fleece out. God, I want it dry. Okay, now, God, I want it wet this morning. You know, I'm throwing out. I'm saying, God, I want confirmation. And God is so good, many times He gives that confirmation. Amen? Amen. He's a God that confirms. So we don't just dismiss it. We test it. Here's the third point. Kind of an oxymoron. Hold on to it and let go of it. Hold on to it and let go of it. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21-22. Test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Hold on to it and let it go. We hold on to what is good, and we know what is good is from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And we let go of, and we stay away from every form of evil. Listen, that means even if it gives the appearance of evil, we stay away from it. Abstain from every form, okay? If it gives the appearance of evil, we should abstain from it. We let that stuff go, right? Psalm 101, 1 through 4. I use these scriptures when I talked about purity still matters. It says, I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Amanda, you can come. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. This is Paul talking. He says, not that I have already attained or I am already perfected. He's saying God's still working on me. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I won't grab a hold of Him because He's already grabbed a hold of me in my heart and my life, right? Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, I'm letting go of the things that are behind me, my old life. I'm letting go of the things of this world, and I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead of me. I'm grabbing a hold of the things of God and His word over me, His promises over my life, and I'm letting go of the things that try to hold me back. And I press toward the goal and the prize of the upper call of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, He's simply saying, Jesus has a purpose, He has a promise, He has a destination for me. So I'm going to hold on to what He has spoken to me and over my life. I'm going to hold on to what's laid hold of me, right? And I'm going to hold on that so I can lay hold of it one day. So I can step into that promise. So I can fulfill that purpose. I'm going to hold on to it. Even if things come against me and they try to hold me back and I have to press through, I'm not going to let it stop me. I'm going to hold on to the things of God and I'm going to press forward and I'm letting go of the things of this world. The problem most of us have, we're trying to grab a hold of the things of God with this hand, and then we still want to hold on to some things in this world with this hand, and this is what we have. And the Lord's saying, I got good plans for you here. Let go of that. Hold on to me. Many times, let me say this. I'll tell you the truth. Many times when we do that, we make up in our mind that we're going to let go of all the things of this world and we're going to grab a hold of God. There is opposition that comes. There's opposition that comes. And you know why? Because the enemy doesn't want you stepping into your promise, but more importantly, he does not want you to step into and fulfill your purpose. You know why? Because every one of us, we all have a different purpose, but I can tell you what one purpose we all have. That is to bring people with us into the belief of Jesus Christ for eternity. The enemy doesn't want you sharing that with people. And if you're stepping and walking in purpose, you'll be fulfilling the other promises on your life too. We hinder ourselves many times because we refuse to wait. We do not test. And we don't grab a hold and let go. But I believe it's more of a critical time in our world that we do such a thing, right? Choose this day whom you will serve. When I was 16 years old, the Lord grabbed a hold of me. There was something I knew all about him, but there was something, I had an encounter with him that grabbed a hold of my heart. And there have been moments, you know, throughout that time that I've been like this. I was learning and growing. So I'm not putting you down, okay? I'm not saying this in judgment. I've been there. And I still struggle with my flesh at times. None of us are perfect. That's what Paul's saying. He said, I'm not there. I'm not been perfected. But this is what I've made up in my heart and my mind to do. With everything I am, I'm grabbing a hold of the one that reached down and grabbed a hold of me and saved me from the pits of hell. I'm grabbing a hold of him. And that's all the Lord wants from us. It's for us to let go of the things of this world. Grab a hold of him. And even through opposition, we press forward. We press forward to the mark and the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. If you would all please stand. Just bow your heads, close your eyes. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is forever settled in heaven. And all your promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And God, we just put all of our hope, we put all of our trust, we put everything we are into your hands. I pray, God, that if there are those that are in a war, in a struggle with the things of God, the things of their past, if there's a struggle with the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world, in our hearts, in our minds, in our life, if they're strongholds, I just speak to those right now, and I speak the name of Jesus over them. And I pray, God, that you would begin to move through your Holy Spirit on hearts and minds, and I pray, God, they would begin to let go of those things and grab a hold of you. If you would, just keep your heads bowed, eyes closed. I just want to ask you a couple questions. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Andrew, I'm not 100% sure that I'm saved this morning. I can tell you this, Jesus is reaching out to you. He's reaching out. Life may have thrown you all kind of curveballs. You may have feel like you've gone through hell on earth, but I'm here to tell you, he's reaching out to you this morning. If you're here and you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved, that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of your life, and you want to know that before you leave here today, would you just throw your hand up and put it right back down? Just a quick hand up, quick hand down. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, you know, I've been struggling a little bit. There's some things, maybe from your past. It could even be something like guilt and shame. You know, the enemy uses guilt and shame to try to hold us back more than anything, I believe. But maybe it's guilt and shame. Maybe it's some things that are in your life that you're doing that you know still shouldn't be there. And you say, hey, there's been a tug of war, but I want to let go of those things and I want to grab a hold and press forward into the things of God. If that's you, just throw your hand up. Put it right back down. Yeah. Maybe you hear this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, listen, that spoke to me. There's some words from the Lord. There's some promises that I'm holding on to. There's some things that I've been curious about, and the Lord has given me clarity on some things this morning. And I just want to, any word from the Lord over my life or any word spoken on my life, I don't want to dismiss it, but I want to test it, and I want to make sure that it is a word from the Lord, and you're struggling with that, and you need clarity. If that's you, just throw your hand up, put it right back down. Okay. I want everybody to look at me. Listen, I can't tell you how many times I've struggled with this concept, because it can be a sensitive subject, and I'm speaking on it because I feel like we all need to hear and know it, but there's been so many times where there's been a word of the Lord spoken to me, and I knew it was a word from the Lord, but then there's been times where I'm like, okay, give me discernment here. This is really a word from the Lord? And so I've had to learn and grow in, hey, when there's a word spoken, this is the process I take. I don't automatically dismiss it. I take it straight to the litmus paper. Does this line up with the Word of God? Right? And if it does, if it passes the test, I hold on to it. There are promises and words from the Lord over my life that I'm holding on to still. There are promises and there are dreams. You ever have a dream? Let me ask you this. Can I talk to you just a little bit longer? I feel like ministering. I know I had you stand up, but this is on my heart. You ever had a dream and you wake up and you know that wasn't a normal dream. That was a dream from the Lord. Anybody ever had that? Do you know, I cannot remember dreaming until I became a pastor. And it was, I want to tell you this. I just feel like sharing this. I remember, I know as a child, I remember, my dad could probably testify to this, but I remember that, of course, I had bad dreams. I'd wake up with a nightmare, but I couldn't remember dreams. And as I got older, as I become a teenager and a young adult, different things, I would hear people say I had the wildest dream last night, and I would be like, man, I never dream. But I remember I would pray, God, I want a dream. Give me some good dreams. I'm not even asking for a word over my life. Just let me have a sweet dream. You know, we say sweet dreams all the time. But I don't remember having dreams until I actually started pastoring. And I started having some vivid dreams that I knew, and I still know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that were God-given dreams for me personally, for my family, and even for this church. And I've seen the fulfillment of some of those things. I've seen it. But there's still some out there that I'm holding on to. And I want to speak to somebody today to remember. Remember the dreams and the promises He's given you. It may be some time till you still see the fulfillment. But hold on, don't let go. Just because you haven't seen it in your time doesn't mean we go back to this tug of war. But continue to hold on to the word from the Lord. Because you know that it was from Him. You know it was from Him. My encouragement to you is don't let go. Hold on. They're going to begin to sing. As they sing, if you raise your hand or if you feel the nudge from the Holy Spirit for any reason, if you just need prayer, I want you to come forward. And we're going to wait. We're going to spend some time with the Lord. And then we're going to minister. So if you need to come, come.
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.